don't know about you all, but there were certain phrases that I can remember hearing growing up repeatedly. And I know a lot of times people say things, as we all do, in an effort to explain something or in an effort to understand a situation. But one of them is, they will never change. It's in their blood. It's in their nature. That's just, their father's that way. They're that way. And they'll never change. Thank God for the truth that he's given us to show us the inaccuracy of that statement. First of all, to be able to, for someone to say, for us to even think or say that somebody else will never change is a pretty big statement. It's a pretty big judgment on another person's part to say that they will never change. But it's really, it was an effort to explain a behavior. You know, somebody who's just a really bad person. The behavior they were displaying, what they were doing and stealing or whatever it was, and they were well known, had a reputation for that. It was an effort to say, well, you know, their dad was the same way, and you know, their dad never changed, and they're just without hope, and they're never going to change. And so then these little phrases got kind of tacked onto it that said, well, you know, it's in their blood, or it's just their nature to be this way. God's shown us through his scriptures that it's not just in the nature from birth, anyway. It's in the nature, all right, but it's in the nature we acquired. It's in our spirit that we acquired certain behaviors and traits and things. And it's true that, yeah, our dad was probably that way, and that's where we got it, but it doesn't mean that it can't change in us. When we get into the scriptures, it teaches us that, the scriptures teach that, as we just heard, sin basically is a thought, an evil thought, a bad thought. The thought of foolishness is sin. That's one of our key scriptures that connects what sin is. It's a foolish thought. And there are a lot of foolish thoughts, a variety, a whole catalog, if you will, of sins that we have acquired from a child up. And so that's what sin really is. And it is in our nature, our spirit. Scriptures refer to nature as spirit, but not in the spirit that we're born with. We weren't born with wrong thoughts or sinful thoughts. We were born clean and holy. And the scriptures that tell us that. Every male child that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And yes, in that scripture, he's talking about little baby boys. That every baby boy that's born is holy to the Lord. But it's true of women too, or females. Every baby girl that's born, they're also holy to the Lord. They're clean and holy. It tells us in Genesis that when he looked upon his creation, after he created everything, including man and woman, that he said it was good. It was very, very good. What he had created was very good. So it didn't have evil nature or evil in the blood or anything. So if we've ever heard phrases, and that's just a couple of many phrases that we've probably heard growing up about situations and behaviors, that it's just in their blood or just their nature and they'll never change, well, that's not true. It's not in their blood, literally. It's not in their physical kind of nature anywhere. And it's not true that they can't change. We don't know whether somebody else will ever change or not, but God's teaching us that it is possible with his power and the things that he is making available to us. It is possible to change, and that change takes place in the thoughts of our mind. Scripture says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that's where it is happening. That's where it all takes place, is right here in our mind, being able to change our thoughts. And we can't change anybody else's thoughts, and we can't judge that somebody else will never change or that they will change. We don't know. But we can make a determination that we can change and that we will change with God's help and his power. Like we heard, pray to God, God help me, give me what I need, and things can change. Things can get better for us in our mind. And it's really neat because we can choose just exactly what we want to change about ourselves. I mean, that's really cool. I mean, just like we go into our home and we can choose to paint our walls, paper our walls, remodel, do whatever to make it new or make it better, updated. Well, we can do the same thing in our own mind. And that's really cool to think that we, with God's help, we can go to the storehouse, and that's God and all that he has, and say, God, I would like to change this about where I live. I would like to change this about my mind. And we can be specific about that. You know, God, I don't like being timid. I don't like being shy. God can help us with that. God, I don't like being embarrassed. I hate those times when I just get all red in the face and I'm so embarrassed. And he can help us with that. He can take that away, and he can give us assurance so that we can have assured, confident feelings and not feel so doubtful and question ourselves and we're kind of stupid and I don't know and gosh, I said the wrong thing. And you know, we don't have to feel those ways. If we choose that we don't want to, then with discernment help, with God's help to kick out the wrong thoughts and give us the right thoughts and supply us with His Holy Spirit and His words, changes can happen. Change can take place in our mind. And it's really cool. Just like you remodel your house, you can remodel the house of our mind. We can do that. And just pick and choose just what we want. You know, Paul says that there's a whole list of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And against such, there is no law. Yeah. There's no law against how many or how much of any of those things that we can pray to God for. Yeah. He will give them to us to decorate our home that we live in. And that's right here where we live in our mind. This is where we want to make it pleasant. Just like we want to live in a pleasant atmosphere at home, something that's pleasing to us and that we like and the colors we like and what's soothing and homey to us. Well, that's what we want in our mind, something that's pleasing to us, something that's soothing to us, something that's comfortable for us. We feel comfortable. We're at home. And that's what God wants us to be in our mind. He wants us to feel comfortable. He wants us to be at home. So whatever of His Spirit that we would like to go shopping for, then we can ask God for it, and He'll just put that right in our shopping cart. And yeah, there's going to be a price to pay. We're going to have to check out. We're going to have to pay the price to get those things, and the price is willing to give up the timid, the shy, the doubts, the I'm stupid, the thoughts that we've acquired, to give those things up, let God take them away, let Him cast them out of our mind, and then ask Him for the things that we want. Put those things in our shopping cart, and we will pay the price to get those things in us, and we can fight to keep those things in us and not let evil rob us of those things. It was mentioned about these days and there being spiritual days, and it brought to mind just a lot of scriptures started popping to mind. But one of them was where we have scriptures that connect these days with, it kind of tells us what they are, what it means, and it connects days or last days with spirit, with deeper spirit, with power, and that's what the last days in the scriptures are referring to, a time when God pours out or makes available to my mind and your mind deeper spirit, something deeper than we've ever had before, something that is powerful to do a work of changing our mind from what we don't want it to be to what God wants it to be in us. And we have this example where first in Jesus, where He battled with Lucifer, the devil. The devil came to Him and tempted Him with all kinds of thoughts and said, if you're the Son of God, then you know, why don't you just do this? And tried to get Jesus to listen to His thoughts and take in those thoughts from Him. Jesus refused repeatedly. He said, it is written. God's scripture says this. God's scripture says that. And He refused to believe those thoughts that the devil put in His mind. He kicked Him back out. He rejected those thoughts. The devil kept trying. Jesus kept coming back at Him with what God had put in His mind. He wouldn't believe. He wouldn't mix His faith with what the devil was saying to Him in His mind. It's a lesson for us. The scripture says, if we resist the devil, He'll flee from us. Yes. That's what happens here with Jesus. It says the devil finally left Him for a time and departed from Him for a season. And it says when the devil left Him, the holy angels came and began to minister more to Jesus' mind. And what they began to minister to Him was spirit and words of God. And we know this because right after this, it says in Luke that Jesus returns back into the area or town or this area of Galilee, and He returned in the power of the Spirit. And this is because the angels were ministering spirit to His mind. He's got some power working in His mind now because the angels are ministering things to His mind. We can have some power working in us if we let the angels minister to our mind. Resist the devil, he'll flee from us. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you, the scripture says. And the way we do that is pray, like we heard. Pray to God for the things we need, and God will give them to us. Jesus said, I will give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus had power over all evil spirit thoughts that have power in the mind. Jesus said, you can have power over all that power. So as powerful as certain things in our life may seem to us, they may seem insurmountable. They may seem like the mountains that Jesus said, have a little faith and you can move those mountains. We can. If we have enough faith, Jesus says, I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy. And you don't have to fear because nothing is going to hurt you. That's a promise. There's power over evil, and God can give that to us. He told that to His disciples.
and the scriptures are left there so that we can know that too, that that's available for us. Amen. So power is what Jesus got. He returned in the power of God's Spirit because the angels were ministering to his mind. And the scripture says, are they not all ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to people who are heirs of salvation? Well, that's us. We are to inherit God's salvation. And he wants to minister. He wants his angels to minister that same spirit and power to us. Right after this, after Jesus returns and he has this power of the Spirit working in him, working through him, we see that he goes into Nazareth, his hometown, and he goes into the temple. I don't know, I think it's on the Sabbath day. And as he usually did, it was a custom of his to stand up and to read the scriptures. And someone brought in, one of the ministers brought in the scroll, and they opened it up, or he opened it, and whoever opened it, it was right at the passage where a scripture was being fulfilled at this time. So there was not just happenstance that this happened at this time, because it says the scripture that he read from, that was opened up to him, was, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel," Amen. "To heal the brokenhearted," Amen. "To preach deliverance to people that are captive in their mind, to, you know, to set at liberty people that are all beaten up and bruised." He said, this day, this scripture is Amen. Fulfilled in your ears. So here he was saying, the Spirit of God is upon me. He sent me. He's anointed me. And I'm here to do this for you. Wow. It was all because God was putting spirit and power in his mind. And this was fulfilling the scriptures, the prophecy. As the scripture says, he has in these last days spoken. The angels have brought deeper things to his mind. And as he opened his mouth and spoke those words and said, this day, right now, I'm standing before you. God's spirit is upon me. And there is power here to do a healing in your life. Heal your brokenhearted condition. Cast sin out of your mind. Set you free from the evil that's been tormenting you. That was the power that was upon him. That was the last days, or the depth of spirit that was now available in Jesus. So whenever we see this term later on used in the scriptures about it is the last days and the last times and these things are happening in the last days, it's because deeper spirit is available. Power is there to bring prophecies to pass. We see that John wrote in his letter, little children, it is the last time. It is right now. The last days are the last time. And he said, you know, you've heard that Antichrist shall come, but he said, I'm telling you right now that there are many Antichrists. And that's how we know that it is the last time. Amen. So here this lets us know that the last days or the last times were available when John wrote that letter, and that was 2,000 years ago. Today, when we hear people talk about the last days and last times, usually it's sometime, you know, where the last days are coming up or they're upon us, and they mean in a literal sense that the end of this world is going to happen, or Jesus is going to make a literal return, or this man is going to arise. Some say it's the going to be the Pope, the head of Catholicism. Others say, no, no, if you're Catholic, then they say, no, no, it's somebody else. But most people will say that it's a person over there somewhere that's going to arise, and he's the big boogeyman that's going to fulfill these scriptures. Well, John didn't say that. He said, right now, if this is being fulfilled, right now, there are many of them, not just one. There are many antichrists, and it is the last time. The last days are here, folks. And the end of the world didn't happen, you know, like the world stopped to cease or stopped existing. It didn't cease to exist. That's not right. The world didn't end. The world as we know it didn't end. It's still going on, and we're a part of it. So he didn't mean literally the end of time like that, but he did mean something more is available of God. Deeper spirit, deeper power, deeper depths of God's creative day spirit is available and working in a ministry, and it can bring to pass and fulfill all these prophecies that the Old Testament said, in that day, I'm going to do this. It's being fulfilled. In that day, I'm going to do that. It's being fulfilled because the grace is now here that he prophesied of in that day. And the power is now here that he prophesied would happen in that day. So just as those scriptures were fulfilled back at that time because the power was there and the spirit was there, it's the same way today. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, because God is opening up to us a deeper depth of his spirit, It is the last days. The last days are upon us. But it has nothing to do with an antichrist, a person arising out there. It has nothing to do with the calendar days, literally. It has all to do with God's spiritual time.
Amen.
God doing something now spiritually, opening up, pouring out, ministering to our minds something deeper of Him. And because He has, it is the last time. The last days are unfolding before us in our minds. Changes are happening. Good things are happening in people's minds, just as they were happening back at that time, because Jesus was in the last days, because He got into that depth of spirit, and people marveled when He spoke those words on that day, when He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Right after He spoke these words, it said, people bear witness to the gracious words that came out of His mouth. And then immediately after that, some people wanted to take Him and kill Him, throw Him over the brow of the hill. That's fulfilling what John said. There are many antichrists. He said, and He also said, it's the spirit of antichrist.
Amen.
So it lets us know that it's not a person, but it's evil thought. It's spirit in people's minds that come up against Christ, antichrist. They came up against the anointing that Jesus had upon Him. When He spoke those words and said, God's spirit is upon me, He's anointed me, He sent me to do these things for you, freedom for your minds right today, right now, if you believe it. Evil didn't want that to happen. Evil wanted to rise up against that and say, don't believe this man. You know, he's an upstart. He's someone, he's teaching something different than we've taught before. Don't believe it. Kill him. And that's what they wanted to do. Well, that's what evil does in our mind. When God opens up this deeper spirit to us and begins to tell us that it's not in your blood, it's not in your nature, you can change your mind. There is a power to do that. These things can happen. Good things can happen. We can get eternal life. We can get it now. When we begin to hear these things, there's a lot of thoughts that are going to come up in our minds or through other people to try to make us doubt and say, are you certain about that? I mean, I don't know about that. Well, and try to get us to doubt and question that and not believe that and rise up against what Christ said. That's antichrist in my own mind when that happens. Here's the spirit of antichrist. I don't have to look over in Rome or someplace else for it. I can just open my mind and think, wow, look at all those antichrist thoughts that are fighting against me right now, fighting against me getting Christ in me. And we don't have to look out there. Like we heard in 2 Thessalonians, we don't have to say that man of sin's over there in some temple. We can say the man of sin's right here in the temple of God in our mind, and He doesn't want us to believe what God's doing and the power God has. So there's a lot of scriptures that connect these last days and this with the spirit and the power of God that Jesus had upon Him and that other people, John and other people, had upon them. And we can get that same last days and that same power and spirit working in us. When Jesus spoke those words, again, right after this account of Him saying this and people witnessing to those words and then other people wanting to kill Him, it says that right after that, that some of the people marveled at these words He spoke. And they said, never a man spoke like this man. He speaks as one having authority. His power, His words were with power, they said. So here again, we have Jesus' words being with power, His words having authority, Him having the Spirit of God upon Him. All these things that it's saying here to let us know that these last days were available, and that's how He could say, this day, this is being fulfilled right here before you, in your ears.